Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rabbi Silberhaft, what a pleasure it is to have you with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Hi, Simon.
Great to have you with us. So I was saying, Rabbi, I don't know if you heard that introduction, but it's not very often that we get asked to speak to particular people. Right. You were a special request because you mean a lot to a lot of people, and I happen to know that this request came from somebody in the country, and clearly you visit his community as you do many others. And it would be fascinating, I thought, to kind of speak to yourself, the man. How did this happen? How did you become the traveling rabbi?
So thank you very much for the opportunity. And 28 years I've been on the road, working initially for the Jewish Board of Deputies, and then 2019 they closed down the department, and I joined an organization called Small Jewish Communities Association. But my interest in country communities goes back from the age of 14, 15, when I used to travel to the small town of Messina to conduct High Holy Day services when I was at Yeshiva College. And my full story is actually in my book, which was published a couple of years ago, called The Traveling Rabbi, My African Tribe. If anybody wants it, they can contact your offices and we can arrange to get them a copy. The beauty of the country communities are, A, the country itself. We have the most magnificent landscape to travel, but more beautiful are the people that we greet in each town. The appreciation, the willingness to be part of a larger community. And unfortunately, historically, I mean, should I say, the small communities numbered 40,000 people in the 1940s, 1950. And today it's about 1,500 people. That's taking into consideration that South African Jewry has dropped in numbers considerably as well. So it's a dynamic that's happening nationally.
1,500, my goodness me, that is nothing if you consider the size of the country, the extent of it and its vastness. I mean, there must be handfuls, not even minyanim, in a whole bunch of communities, Rabbi.
Absolutely, and in some towns it's just one person. And we visit them, we make sure that they're taken care of. I've been on a Pesach distribution run the last couple of days. We covered Limpopo province last week, as well as towns in the Free State. And I've always said that living in Johannesburg, we are spoilt. Thinking that, you know, we've got, not thinking, knowing that we've got everything at our disposal, etc. But if, I know Shlomo Weiner from Umshlange, Chabad of Umshlange, has been touring the south coast and the north coast of KwaZulu-Natal and inland. These are places that if somebody didn't actually go out to meet them and to give them Pesach supplies, they wouldn't have. And we sit in Johannesburg and we go to our shuls and we worry, will we have 100 people or won't we, or et cetera, et cetera. But these are people that are out there on their own. And if there wasn't that contact, not only wouldn't they have matzah at Pesach time, they wouldn't have a Jewish calendar throughout the year, so they wouldn't know when Yontif is. They wouldn't know when the Yortzeit is of their family. And just to have a Jewish connection is so important. I had an email today from a lady in Montague in the Western Cape.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, the shops there this year aren't ordering matzah, because we know that non-Jewish people also like to buy matzah around Easter time. And can we organize to send her some matzah? We distribute over 1,500 calendars. As I say, it's for people to know when is Shabbos, when I say Shabbos, what's the parsha, et cetera, et cetera. But more importantly, when is Yontif? And with every box of matzah we send out, we give another calendar with a date. And we circle it and we say, on this Saturday night, please make sure that you eat matzah and have some wine, etc.
It's kind of a naive question, Rabbi, but I mean, I think scratch deep enough under most of us, and we will have roots out there in the country areas. But our parents and our grandparents moved into the cities one way or another. They picked PE or Cape Town or Joburg. What is keeping these Jews in the country? What are they? Are they farmers? Are they shopkeepers? Are they? Is they? What's keeping them there?
So most of the people that are left there today, or are choosing to live there today, is because either they retired there. Their kids are all overseas. So why come to Johannesburg when they don't know anybody, or go to Pini or Pretoria, etc., when all their kids are overseas? At least in the small communities, everybody knows them and they're part of the local community. And there are some that are running businesses. There are farmers, there are lawyers, pharmacists, accountants, etc. So each person has their specific reason why they're staying there.
Rabbi, talk to me about your experience over the last year. I mean, clearly it came with its own particular challenges, COVID and the like. Were you able to get out, and to what extent did the need actually increase for your presence amongst those communities?
Right. So that's an interesting question. We I continue to travel around South Africa, obviously not into Africa, where we're also responsible through the African Jewish Congress. We obviously have difficulty crossing the borders when necessary. But thank God, I must say that in the small towns, we've had only two corona deaths, causes of death by corona, the virus, in all of the small country communities. So people are mainly staying home, being cautious, and we're now opening shuls again. Some of the shuls have been open all the time, being very cautious, keeping social distancing, etc. And with PostNet, the invention of PostNet, people don't realize the convenience. And, you know, we work through PostNet in Hazel, and it's incredible. We can get anything out there within 24 hours, yahrzeit candles, whatever anybody needs from Johannesburg, a sidur, whatever it is. We post it out there and we send it to people. We're on regular contact with people or through WhatsApp, through phone calls, etc., through newsletters. That's over and above my visits. We've had three burials in the African countries, and I've had to instruct the Tahara over online, should I say, as well as the funeral, conducting parts of it online and then having somebody on the ground there to actually recite the Kaddish, etc. So it's been quite challenging. However, we Pesach time now, we've been able to send matzah and Pesach supplies to Lusaka, to Mozambique, to Bulawayo, and to Harare without any problem whatsoever.
So the fact that Zoom has sort of snuck into all our lives and transformed it in ways that were unimaginable, I'm listening to you and thinking it's even more applicable in your context. Who would have thought you would be conducting burials of Zoom?
So as you can't really conduct a burial by Zoom. You can watch a Zoom a funeral by Zoom, but to actually conduct it, you need somebody on the ground. But as I say, through Zoom, we are assisted and advised how to do the tahara and prepare the body for burial. We have had various Zoom conferences, various concerts, discussions, but at the end of the day, people want a visit.
Yeah, and I understand that. Yeah.
People living in the small towns crave Jewish interaction.
And you spoke
when
about
I visit somebody in their shop, etc. I don't go into the shop. He meets me at my car, the pavement. We don't obviously, you know, we keep social distancing.
Yes.
Just as I don't want to get ill, so they don't want to get ill. But still, there's that interaction, which is so very important.
No, I hear you loud and clear. I'm wondering, you know, when you've told me there were 40,000 Jews in the Plateland, we're now down to 1,500, and yet one reads about semigration, one reads about because of Zoom, people are able to live in more rural places and have space. Do you think there's a possibility of some sort of a reversal, even if it's just 1,000 or 2 or 3? Are there Jews moving back to the Plateland?
So interestingly enough, Plettenberg Bay had a revival of its community, but unfortunately the town has not been financially viable, or is not financially viable any longer, and people are leaving. The reality is that the mentality of the Jew in South Africa and around the world, at the minute there is uncertainty, they move. So at one stage, Jews moved to Cape Town and down to the coast, Hermanus, so they called it semigration instead of immigration.
Yes.
But we don't have the numbers anymore. We have to be realistic, and we don't have the numbers to force immigration. So, I mean, one guy and his lady friend moved down to Bloemfontein last week, and he's going to start working there. But you'll get the odd person going down wanting to go back to their roots, or just experiencing life in the country communities. But as active communities, as I keep on using the word, the reality, people don't like to hear, but the reality is that in Johannesburg, there are large shuls, they don't get minyanim anymore. While in the small communities, we do.
Yeah.
So the fact is that to start building country communities in numbers, I think is highly unlikely.
Unlikely. Rabbi Moshe Silberhoff, thank you so very much for talking to us today. As I said, it's not often we get requested to speak to somebody. You are our first special request. So
thank you,
thank you for your time this afternoon, and Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach to you.